Why do sports even matter? Massera Cohen is one of the best places not on a main street. Tucked away from Queen Street West and South Parkdale, Massera Cohen Community Recreation Center has been a constant in my life for a long time. I was sent to daycare there. I learned to play pool there and attended a bunch of community events with my mom. It was a place of refuge when I wasn't ready to go home and study after school. It still stands today, not at all different from my childhood, always bustling with kids and parents alike. The interior exposed brick on some of the center's walls awed me as a kid. I lived in an apartment building, so go figure. Named in honor of Tomas Masaryk, Czechoslovakia's first president, this old building has been a Parkdale social fixture for decades. The south portion of the building was built in 1898 and housed a curling club. In 1907, it was an indoor roller skating rink. In 1915, it became the Pavlova Dancing Academy, a popular dance hall. In the 30s and 40s, the academy evolved into a tennis club and a rec center for wartime employees. Today, the building itself is heritage designated. The center is a place that I grew to admire because it was where people from the neighborhood could expand their horizons. Friends of mine practiced karate there, earning black belts. The upstairs community rooms once held a radio station. They probably still do, actually. Then there's the basketball court. For years, that court was the site of numerous late Tuesday and Friday night pickup games. I would meet kids and teens who lived in the neighborhood. They went to Parkdale Junior and Senior Public School and Queen Victoria Public School, and a lot of the older kids went to Parkdale Collegiate. I attended a Catholic school and didn't socialize with them otherwise. Many of them needed a place to go. How did I know? Because I needed a place to go too. I was too young to get a job and too old to be hanging around the house. And on the ball court, with its slippery hardwood, its fluorescent lighting, and that glass-paneled ceiling, I found a place to move, to get the angry and nervous energy out. That court and every game there was lively. People cared about winning, if only as a moral or personal victory. Everyone was so athletic, so cerebral. You called your own fouls, you argued on your team's behalf, and in some cases, players took three-point shots to settle call disputes. Side note, I feel that three-point shots to settle court disputes should be a thing in the pros, but that's for another conversation. There may have been an elbow, maybe a fist. Nothing ever escalated into anything personal for me. There were no, do you want to take this outside moments? If you weren't playing, you were hanging around the stage, which hosted community theater from time to time, or the elevated walk-in areas that abutted the court on the sides. You got up there via the stairs on each side and the view to the court. Heck, the view of the entire community center was amazing, but it was the game and the culture that bustled the court below. Masaryk's court gave me a lot of joy, but also one of my first glimpses into the world of sports. If I'm being quite honest, it was the place that provided one of the first moments that inspired my writing career. A real eye-opener as to what sport can represent in people's lives. I was 21 years old at the time and still wondering whether sports writing would be my path. Freshly graduated, underemployed, and still living with my mother, I hadn't yet decided to go back to school to study journalism. There were many questions swimming in my head. Was I going to get the job I wanted? Was I doing enough to develop my skills and experience in the field? Yet there was little doubt about what I intended to do, and I didn't care how long it took to get there. I wanted to write about sports, but I didn't know what kind of writer I wanted to be, what kind of voice to evoke, and where I wanted to put my focus. What mattered? What stories needed to be told? What sports did I care about? For that matter, why do sports even matter? Who cares about sports anyway? Massera Cohen and the people who walked through it and lived in it were a litmus test, the true barometer of the neighborhood's character. Parkdale, as my wife describes it sometimes, is an honest neighborhood, a place that shows itself for what it really is, in its local businesses, its places to convene, the things that happen there, and especially in its people. The Statistics Canada census data provides only a small glimpse. Parkdale, with over 108,000 residents as of 2019, is a village of different languages, religions, and cultures all packed into about 14 square kilometers. And dense. Indeed, when I walk around Queen Street West at any time of day, it's almost always crowded with people. I have always seen Parkdale's changing faces and places as a reflection of the world at large. I grew up there in the 1980s, 1990s, and 2000s when a lot of immigrants came to Canada to escape political turmoil in their home countries or in search of new opportunities for themselves and their families. Those identities were reflected in the landscape of Parkdale, the eateries, the local grocery stores that still mark the neighborhood, and the newcomer and social services that have been available. One of my favorite Caribbean grocery stores, Fullworth, is still standing and withstanding near Queen and Lansdowne. I lived nearby and dropped in for groceries, but also furniture and even clothing.